Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage, that's georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the International Forecaster right after this. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. You know, Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. You know, politicians like Ted Kennedy, Arlen Specter, Hillary, or that guy John in the Justice Department. And let's prepare to live through and survive this global 2000 New World Order nightmare. To do just that, why don't you call or write and ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scriptures. And let's talk about formulating a real meaningful, intelligent plan to survive this global 2000 and the other 64 life-threatening problems called the Great Tribulation in the Bible. To order yours, just call and order my free General Law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, and it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. Now, you can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. My Subsistence and Survival School is also available in compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send an email request for your free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the International Forecaster. Let me give you a couple of pointers on the International Forecaster, published by Robert Chapman. Bob Chapman is an economist, and he's a newsletter writer. His newsletter is somewhat unique in that he puts in a lot of information. It isn't just a newsletter that covers the stock and bond markets, but he covers international geopolitics, political, and social events that are going on here in the United States and around the world, and then ties them together with the economies of nations around the world and with the United States. You know, things like Social Security and the British pension funds, trade deficit, stocks, economic growth, immigration, immigration reform, the Justice Department, the budding police state, torture, Saudi Arabia, and so on. Just on and on it goes. 63 different topics in this newsletter that I'm reviewing. The International Forecaster has been out as long as I can remember. I think Chapman said he's been doing this for 46 years. Now, you know, if you've been in a newsletter business or if you're an economist and you've been out there in the private sector for 46 years, you've got to be doing something right or you wouldn't have any customers. Economists that work for, you know, universities and work for the government, they don't have to be right. They don't have to produce anything. They don't have to have anything going for them. They're all socialists, by and large, and they subscribe to socialist philosophy and economics, and they get paid by the taxpayers. So whether they're right or wrong, good or bad, or indifference, not really relevant. But when you're in the private sector, you have to perform. You have to perform or you die. This guy's been performing for 46 years, so it tells me that he's got to be doing something right. The International Forecaster is available, and you can get a copy. I imagine if you were to send him an email, he'd probably send you a copy just to see if he could sell you a subscription. But the subscription price is $129.95. That's $130 in real terms. And you can write to Bob Chapman, 510-518, that's six digits, 510-518 is the post office box. And he lives in a place called Punta Gorda, Florida. That's P-U-N-T-A. Imagine that's Point Gorda, Florida, 33951. And he's also got a webpage here. It's called International Forecaster at Yahoo.com. International Forecaster at Yahoo.com. I said last time we'd take it up right here with the Justice Department. This is subject number 10 of the February 2005 issue of the International Forecaster. Listen to this. After the inauguration, a vote will be held on the nomination of Alberto Gonzalez. He's earmarked to be the new U.S. Attorney General. Well, two issues have held up the Senate Judiciary Committee's vote. Gonzalez's evasive testimony during the hearings regarding questions about whether the president has the power to authorize his subordinates to violate U.S. criminal laws and torture detainees, which is a blueprint for dictatorship, and he did not explicitly repudiate waterboarding and other interrogation techniques that amounted to torture. In addition, the Bush administration is stonewalling in their normal arrogant style and released altered documents necessary to evaluate Gonzalez's role in formulating policies relating to the treatment of detainees and the applicability of the Geneva Convention. Well, I don't know what your thinking is on this, but I'm dead set against torture, even if the guy is as wicked and evil as Osama bin Laden. You know, the thing that has made America America and separated us from everybody else in the world is that we practiced a different, more tolerant methodology in life. It's true the Nazis tortured our people, but we didn't torture Germans in kind. And it raised us a step above everybody else. I don't have any sympathy for these terrorists. Terrorists are killers. They murder women and children. That's the thing that bothers me the most. I wish they'd just get out there and act like men and go attack those soldiers. Because the soldiers are armed and these terrorists are armed. And when you want to get out there and fight and duke it out, why, you ought to go pick on somebody your own size. Blowing yourself up and killing women and children just isn't my idea of heroics. By the same token, when you capture one of these sniveling, snot-nosed cowards, should we torture this guy? And, of course, you know, many people would say, well, yeah, I think we probably ought to torture the guy because we need the information from him to keep his Confederates, because these guys are nuts, and they're gonna go out and blow themselves up and kill more innocent women and children. I never did get anything out of the Bible that dealt with torture. When God wanted to deal with somebody, take them out and stone them to death, but he was always right up front. God would kill somebody, but he wouldn't torture them. I don't see any examples in the scripture of God torturing people to make life miserable for them. So I'm opposed to that, and I didn't care too much for this Gonzalez guy for that very reason, and the Democrats didn't care too much for him for that reason, and on this one, I would agree, just in my view, with the Democrats. Now, going on here, issue number 11, he brings up WorldNet Daily. Now, WorldNet Daily is a news source on the Internet, kind of like Spiker and Rents. I've used them before. I've made reports here based upon WorldNet Daily. Now, listen to what Chapman says about WorldNet Daily. He says, we know that most of you go to the Internet to get the real news. Sometimes what you find is not news. It is opinion and misdirection. We recently saw such a piece by WorldNet Daily, which operates with the U.S. government and Zionist interests. We believe you have to be very careful in your selection of information from this site. They consistently produce lies and misinformation. Now, the latest is Jack Wheeler's claims that if Osama bin Laden strikes the United States, then Mr. Bush will nuke Mecca. Now, we don't believe a word of that, and we believe it is U.S. government disinformation. 20 years ago, Jack was roaming around in Africa and Afghanistan in places that only the United States government could authorize him to be in, and he was collecting money for so-called insurgent movements. Now, chances are that Jack Wheeler was, and still is, working for the U.S. government. Now, he claimed to live in Malibu, California. Well, we've spent much time looking for Jack in Malibu, where we had lived for many years, and know most of the people in town. But we could never find Jack Wheeler. We could only find a mail drop. And sometimes you have to know who the players are and what their backgrounds are in order for you to know who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. Now, World Net Daily and Jack Wheeler are working in conjunction with the U.S. government, so you ought to be careful about what you read and believe published by them. Our government, number 12, which is the budding police state, our government has appointed itself global policeman, but in the process, we have appointed ourselves to be judges and jury. Torture specialist Alberto Gonzalez says that our government is thinking of building jails in foreign countries, mainly those countries with terrible civil rights records, to which it can secretly transfer detainees who have never been convicted of anything for the rest of their lives. These are global gulags beyond the scrutiny of the Red Cross or any other independent observers or lawyers. This was what Mr. Gonzalez told the Senate Judiciary Panel, and he also admitted that our government was involved in heinous torture. What he depicted at Guantanamo was horrible. We have a government that believes it is above the law. Detainees are in the hands of the CIA, which only answers to the CIA. And that's how these camps are covered up. The first proposal is to build camps in Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. Officials of those countries would run these prisons and allow our State Department to monitor them. The CIA then would, in fact, run them and supervise the torture and the extraction of information from these detainees. Okay, number 13 here is torture. Now, the U.S. policy of lending detainees to other countries, their jailers and torturers, known as rendition in the trade, began during the war on drugs as a way of arresting illegal Latin American narcotics traffickers and softening them up for trial in the United States. The concept has been vastly expanded under the war on terror, which has been used to do anything that the government wants. It is the policy of our government to kidnap and torture innocent people, and that is kidnapping for life. Alberto Gonzalez said that the Justice Department believes that non-Iraqis captured in Iraq are not protected by the Geneva Conventions. That allows the export of prisoners. Gonzalez also said if a captive survives torture, then he has not been tortured. Gonzalez will probably be approved. All we can say is, God help us. Well, let me pause there for a moment and point out that in 1 Samuel chapter 8, about verse 18, God said, you know, don't call me, and I'll call you. So I think we can forget about God helping us. In fact, it was God Almighty who told us now in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, here's what I'm going to do to you because you broke my contract, broke my covenant. So I think that what we're reaping now, and you ever heard this old story, you know, that says what goes around comes around? You know, we Americans have not been behaving very well for the last 50 or 75 years. And now what's coming around is what goes around. Take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I think that'll be pretty self-explanatory. All right, number 14. Yeah, 14, Saudi Arabia. Listen to this. Saudi Arabia is slowly panicking. Al-Qaeda cells are so numerous in the kingdom that they cannot keep up with them all. And as fast as they find and extinguish one, a new one pops up. This has caused a major crisis in retaining foreign workers over there who are being targeted by Al-Qaeda for murder. And these foreign workers are now moving out of Iraq by the droves and scores. Now, number 15, Halliburton is over in Iran. Listen to this. American companies are not supposed to be doing business in Iran. We now find that the Halliburton company has been awarded a large contract to develop the South Pars natural gas field, and Halliburton got the business by way of a Cayman Island subsidiary. Corporations use these offshore locations to avoid our tax laws and our criminal laws. Individuals like you and I are forbidden to do that. Number 16. New Hampshire legislature. The state of New Hampshire has introduced a resolution to get the United States out of the United Nations. The resolution has been forwarded to the President of the United States Senate. It's also been sent to the Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, Dennis Hastert, and the members of the New Hampshire Congressional Delegation. Now, that's a surprise. Number 17, the cigarette tax in New York City. The New York City Finance Department has now sent letters to 3,700 smokers asking them to pay over $1.3 million in city taxes from internet tobacco purchases. The city believes that it's losing about $40 million a year. The question is, how did these officials access this data on these New York City residents? Did the internet sellers give up this information, or was the New York City Tax Department hacking into these sites? Number 18, DNA testing. Our police state marches on. In Truro, Maine, that's T-R-U-R-O, Maine, state troopers were stopping motorists and getting DNA samples. Authorities said that they would be compelled to look at those who refused to give a sample. Number 19, free speech. Fed up with the judicial system? Well, a Jackson County, Alabama man put a sign up in his front yard on his front lawn. The sign said, "Our court system is a joke," and he was thrown in jail. So what happened to free speech? Number 20, anti-terrorist bill in Oregon. An anti-terrorism bill in Oregon would jail street-blocking protesters for at least 25 years. That's right. 25 years in prison for blocking a street in an effort to stifle anti-war protests and to deter protesters. A terrorist is anyone who disrupts business, transportation, schools, government, or free assembly. This definition is the broadest that we have heard of yet. It is a catch-all to jail anyone who disagrees with anything. That is State Senate Bill 742. I call it insanity. Item number 21, Patriot Act and the Anti-Terrorism Bill. All Americans, not just terrorists, are potential victims of the USA Patriot Act. In addition to other laws and presidential executive orders implemented in the wake of 9/11. Giving up our freedom and becoming victims is not the way to protect us from terrorism. National security letters allow the FBI, without a warrant or judicial oversight, to order internet providers phone companies, and even foreign governments and businesses to disclose sensitive data on anyone. Then they can impose a gag order barring recipients from telling anyone the information was requested. Then they and other government agencies are using these tactics. We know they have already used them against us. There are warrants issued, and they do not show up on law enforcement computers. If the government cannot locate you, they issue these secret warrants that are triggered when you go in or out of the country or use a government agency. Then we have delayed notice searches that let authorities enter your home or your business and then copy your computer or paper files without telling what the search's target is, and as traditional warrants require. It is a veritable fishing expedition, just looking for crime. The National Security Agency and Justice Department have unlimited access to eavesdropping on electronic communication without any warrant. The Patriot Act defines terrorism so broadly that government can do anything that it pleases. Our country has now been reduced to a police state. A recent Supreme Court decision allows police to fully arrest and handcuff American citizens for misdemeanor traffic violations, violations of traffic law that are generally punishable with a ticket and a fine in traffic court. In another decision, police officers can briefly search homes and commercial buildings without a warrant, even if there is not probable cause. In Fairfax County, Virginia, police are going directly into bars and restaurants to make arrests. Now, the police and some locals think that they are a modern-day Gestapo. In Houston, Texas, parents of students who habitually fail to complete their homework or miss a mandatory after-school program are being summoned into court and issued tickets for $185 fines. And police often break into the wrong apartment or house in making drug busts. They terrorize the people in there. Then they find nothing, and sometimes they apologize and sometimes they don't when they leave. Who pays for the door that they just kicked in? You guessed it. The victims. And a deputy used pepper spray on a 12-year-old girl and then wrestled her to the ground when she ignored repeated orders to stop jaywalking. The city of Portland, Oregon has agreed to pay $145,000 to an elderly blind woman after police pepper sprayed and then shocked her with a stun gun. To kick the crap out of an old lady is a bit too much in the name of law enforcement, don't you think? In St. Paul, Minnesota, an 85-year-old man was pepper sprayed during a traffic stop. He was also beaten for taking too long to stop his car. These kinds of incidents go on and on. We have more than 100 in our files, but you should be able to get the idea. 95% of police officers are the best, and we only hear about the meatheads. We do believe, though, that many policemen and women have become much more aggressive since the Patriot Act, and we believe that it will get much worse in the future before it gets any better. Now, number 22 deals with bleeding America to death. The invasion and occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan and the war on terror is and will continue to financially bleed America to death. And yet, very few people even talk about it. What better way to destroy a country? Afghanistan bled the Soviet Union for 10 years, and shortly thereafter, the Soviet Union collapsed. We're already closing in on $300 billion after 2.5 years in the war that has supposedly cost $50 billion and was supposedly won 2.5 years ago. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis and over 1,300 U.S. military personnel are now dead, and so are 1,000-plus mercenaries, plus we have over 30,000 wounded. In addition, what moron in the White House tells us that he has a mandate for murder from the people who reelected him? That is in a stolen election, and we have become today's Soviet Union in just a short 15 years after its fall. Democracy does not work in the Muslim world, and the elitists know that it doesn't work there. The Middle East wars are designed to bankrupt America. Now, number 23, the China trade. China has a communist government, and every time that we buy goods from China, we are strengthening China economically and militarily. Due to our media, Americans just do not get it. We, as a nation, specifically by way of transnational corporations, move our factories to China every day in an act of national suicide. These Chinese workers work for slave wages, and even if the dollar were to fall from 70 to 82 on the dollar index, it should be from 82 to 70 on the dollar index, we still would not be able to compete with them. The agreement on textiles is now up, and over the past 10 years, we've lost 685,000 jobs to the Third World, and we're about to lose another 400,000 more jobs, plus twice as many support jobs, or 1.2 million more jobs. Now, what does our president and Congress think about? Can they really be that dumb? You see, China is now about to take 50% of the market, and in a few years they'll take 70%. And that is why wages are falling. We have a shrinking middle class. And this is why poverty is increasing. Over the last 3 years, we have lost more than 3 million good-paying jobs. Manufacturing jobs are now close to 13% of gross domestic product. The heartland of America, the core of our existence, is being ripped out by the manufacturing jobs that are going over to China. China, a totalitarian society. And we are burying our country in debt. All of these unpatriotic companies that move their factories and services out and outsource are helping to undermine our economic and military security. They're doing that by gutting our manufacturing and technological infrastructure. The game has to stop. And the way to get China and the world's attention is to erect protective trade barriers or take internet rates back 20% as we did 20 years ago. Number 25, Iraq. Well, several years before the war in Iraq, we said that it was a very bad idea, and here's why. Now we say that we have to get out because the war cannot be won and never could be, and our elitists knew that when we entered into it. Now, a guerrilla war can never be won, and unfortunately, we will find that out soon enough in America. All we have accomplished is death, destruction, and financial failure. The longer we stay, the higher the price. The drop in the PPI of 0.7% for December totally defies reality. And the reduction in oil prices was not deep enough to have much of an effect. Oil is again trading above $48 a barrel. Now let's see in early February what kind of figures they gave us for January. You see, the flow of oil is usually contracts from long-term perspective, and only a small amount is purchased in the spot market. So the worst costs on oil are yet to come. Spot energy prices anticipate the increases, but that is not where the real market and the real costs lie. So the BLS, that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, uses the opportunity to manipulate their own statistics with these skewered numbers that have little or no relation to reality. Now, number 27 deals with Army recruiting. The Army has a crash program to bring back retired officers and enlisted men. 320 have signed up, and 500 will probably return this year. Ages range from the mid-40s to late 60s and older. The search has at least 20 years of military service. In a separate program, the Army has found 616 retirees willing to fill 442 jobs as civil affairs officers in and around Iraq. They would help rebuild schools, hospitals, and roads. 10 will be recruiters. Overseas tours have been extended from 12 to 15 months. Bonuses have been tripled, at least tripled for the new enlistees, and National Guard members who reenlist, and the mobilized 4,000 soldiers from the individual's ready reserve. Retired soldiers who rejoin would serve up to a year, although they could agree to more or volunteer for another assignment. Number 28 deals with Proposition 200. Two judges on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco turned aside the injunction request from the taxpayer-funded nonprofit organization called the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. But they did not rule on the merits of the case. You see, the fund is appealing.
The subject was Proposition 200, approved by the Arizona voters in November.
Now, the fund has little hope of prevailing, but they have endless amounts of taxpayer money with which to pursue it. Now, the law is constitutional, and they all know it. The law requires proof of citizenship to register to vote and proof of immigration status to receive some types of government services. Government workers face a $750 fine and up to 4 months in jail for failing to report when people illegally apply for government aid. Which takes us up to number 29. Let me cover 29 and then we'll start with 30. Seymour Hersh in New Yorker magazine tells us that the U.S. Special Forces are operating inside of Iran. They are selecting sites for future airstrikes. This is George and the neocons' next target, Iran. This has been going on for the past 6 months. These efforts are at the direction of President Bush. And this is the same type of activity used in the 1980s in Nicaragua. The task force has been penetrating eastern Iran from Afghanistan and then leaving remote detection devices known as sniffers. These sniffers are capable of testing for radioactive emissions in the atmosphere. So if Mr. Hersh is correct, we have another war and a draft dead ahead of us. Well, let me put a mark right here, and we'll come back and take a look at number 30. Now, we're reviewing the International Forecaster, published by Bob Chapman. International Forecaster by Bob Chapman is published twice a month on surface mail, four times a month by email. The price is $129.95. That's $130. Post Office Box 510, 518. That's Post Office Box 510, 518. Punta Gorda, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951. That's Florida 93, 33951. 33951. That's 33951. He also has an email address if you want to contact Bob Chapman by email. The address is internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. Again, that's internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. Remember, Bob Chapman is a private newsletter writer. I used to publish a newsletter. I stopped and went on the air instead. Many of us have done the same thing. I'm not the only guy that does this. But conservatives all over the country and concerned Americans have been working for 30 years, to my knowledge, trying to alert America and Americans to the peril that we see ourselves in. Most Americans don't see any peril at all. In fact, they don't see any problem at all. It reminds me of riding on the Titanic. You know, if you're born on the Titanic, you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going, and you don't know how you got where you are. And that's the way I see America. We were born on the great ship America. We don't know where we came from. Our knowledge and understanding of our history is practically non-existent. We don't know where we're going. We have banned our God from our schools and institutions, and we don't know where we are. We think everything is going along fine. After all, the ship is still moving, and we're still playing shuffleboard, and we're eating well. Little does anybody realize that this ship is steaming at about 23 knots straight into a big field of icebergs. And so guys like Bob Chapman and Don McIlvaney and Franklin Sanders, and you know, they write newsletters and they say, well, let me tell you where the bear does it and where the rubber meets the road, and let me see if we can get some reality back into the event, back into the circumstances surrounding it, and see if we can't alert some people to do something for themselves. Let me give you a little caveat here. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, just go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. If you want a copy of our 4-hour CD introductory package, it's free of charge. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Or if you're online, you can go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and just send an email request. georgegordon.org. And remember that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, so don't blame it on anybody else, just blame me. And these opinions do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, or of the sponsors, or management, or the staff of the network, or of the radio station. Don't blame any of those people, just blame me. And for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to the website, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School, 417-273-4967. Okay, we'll go back to the review of the International Forecaster. Remember, that's put out by Bob Chapman. Let me give you his name and number again while we're at it. I don't get paid for these reviews either. Always keep in mind that when I pick up something, this particular International Forecaster, I don't subscribe to it. It came in from a listener. And oftentimes listeners send in information, and when I see something that looks like it's of value and you ought to hear about it, I'll put it on the air. This is the International Forecaster. Remember, it's Post Office Box 510-518. It's a long number, six digits. P.O. Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida. That's P-U-N-T-A-G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951. That zip code again, Florida, 933-951. All right. I pointed out that Chapman's newsletter is pretty unique. It's comprehensive in that this particular issue, eight pages, 63 topics. I sorted them all out, gave them all labels, and I'm going through them on one topic at a time. That's why I'm giving you the number. And for $129.95, I think it's dirt cheap. I've pointed out that $130, I think, is what the Australian or the American equivalent of the privateer is. I've promoted the privateer here on the broadcast from time to time, and Franklin Sanders. And I always recommend to my students that they subscribe to, like the privateer. I like that one. Or Franklin Sanders Money Changer. I like that one. I like Bob Chapman. James Cook, he's a pretty good guy. And Don McElvaney, there's another one. There's a free newsletter on here you can subscribe to. It's put out by Kitco. Now, Kitco, remember, sells gold. So Kitco, KITCO.com, has a newsletter that's put out by the Mogambo Guru. He's a pretty funny guy. I've run a newsletter or two of his on here a time or two, and we'll do more in the future. He's a pretty funny guy, and he's free. You can get that one off the internet. Occasionally there's little deals like that around. All right, let's see where we are here. We were down to number what? Number 30. Number 30 deals with DNA. The DNA Fingerprint, Unsolved Crime and Innocence Protection Act. Well, that's a long one. It's called the DNA Fingerprint, Unsolved Crime and Innocence Protection Act, allows authorities to take DNA samples from anyone, adult or juvenile, convicted of a felony. It also allows samples from any arrested adult for specific felonies, such as sexual assault and murder, before they are convicted. Now, in California, the voters have approved DNA samples from any suspect arrested for a felony, including crimes such as residential burglary, whether or not the person is charged or convicted. We're happy that we left the People's Republic of California years ago. Number 31. I'm going to flip my page over here, my index page. Number 31, RFID. Remember the radio frequency identification. RFID. In 2005, RFID tags will be everywhere. They are in drugs, products, and next they will be in clothing. Students with RFID student cards can be grouped and monitored in terms of who they are with. The military wants to implant chips in soldiers to assist in medical care and to find out where they are. Guess what? You may be next. I'll pause here for a moment and point out that we teach a class on private business, which deals in large part, not totally, but in large part, with privacy. Privacy was guaranteed to us by our Bill of Rights, the Fourth and Fifth Amendments. That's extrapolated from the Mosaic Law in Exodus 19, verse 16 through Exodus 24, 8, which was later codified in Magna Carta and in the 49 Dooms of Alfred the Great. You know, we Anglo-Saxons have a very long history of privacy and privacy rights. Now, the CIA and the FBI and George Bush and a lot of these government officials have pretty good privacy, don't they? I mean, just how much do you know about your public officials? And that ought to tell you about how much privacy they have. It's almost top secret. Well, did you know you can have the same kind of privacy that the CIA has for itself? And that's because information comes from 63 sources. So if you knew what those sources were, and there are 87 identifying indicia the government uses to identify you, like these RFID tags. You know, if you knew what those 87 items were, you know, you'd be in a hell of a lot better position to protect your privacy from prying eyes, wouldn't you? So why don't you send for that free introductory CD package, and let's see if we can't help you with your freedom and with your privacy. Now, here's a real neat story. This, I didn't know this before. Bush's IQ. Do you know what President Bush's IQ is? Well, leave it to a private newsletter to tell you. Just as we suspected, George W. Bush is a half-wit. On August the 2nd, 2004, the Levinstein Institute of Scranton, Pennsylvania, released the results of a four-month study into the intelligence quotient. That's called the IQ, you know, your IQ, of President George W. Bush. The IQ is used to measure a person's capacity for learning. Since 1973, the Institute has been rating the mental capacities of presidents. And here are the results. Franklin D. Roosevelt scored 147. Let me get ahead of you right here. The average American white male today in the United States of America, the average is 118. 118. So if you're average, you should score at about 118. Now, over 50 years, the average IQ has been 115. So it's up a little bit higher right now, 118. But traditionally, over the last 50 years, starting about 1955 through 2005, it's averaged 115. So if you're right in the 115 to 118 bracket, then you're average. Now, Franklin D. Roosevelt was 147. So he was about, you know, 25 points above average. Harry Truman, 132, a little above average. Dwight Eisenhower, 122, just a little above average. John F. Kennedy, 174, way, way above average. Lyndon Johnson, 126, he was a little above average. Richard Nixon, 155, he was way above average. Gerald Ford, 121, just a little bit above average. Jimmy Carter, 175, way, way above average. Ronald Reagan, 105, he was a little bit below average. George Herbert Walker Bush, that's George Bush's daddy, was 98. 98. He was quite a bit below average. Bill Clinton, he's the champion. Bill Clinton, 182. The brightest star. And George W. Bush, 91. 91. His daddy is 98 and George Bush is 91. Now, I was kind of surprised by that. Now, I wasn't so much surprised that George Bush might be a little below average, but I was surprised that his daddy was a little below average. Now, remember that George Bush Sr. was a fighter pilot in World War II, and he didn't seem to have much problem speaking in public and talking to people, but it seems like for some reason that he's just a little on the little below average there. All right, let's see, number 33, Israel spying on America. That's right, Israel. The FBI is intensifying its investigation of what was known of the Pentagon's Office of Special Plans on suspicion, and that one of them passed highly classified military information on to Israel. So the Israelis are spying on America. Now, that seems a little strange, doesn't it? You'd think that allies wouldn't be spying on each other, but I'll just bet you that the French and the British and the Germans spy on the United States, and I'll just bet you that the United States has CIA undercover operatives working in France, Italy, Belgium, Germany. I'll bet you we've got spies in Canada finding out what those Canadians are up to. So I guess I shouldn't be too surprised, but, you know, after all, you look at the Israelis and you say, well, aren't those our friends? You know, if we had the Iranians over here spying on us, we'd say, or the North Koreans, we'd say, hey, those guys aren't our friends. We don't like that. Number 34, 2009, that's 4 years from now, what do you think our troop levels are going to be? Well, President Bush has said that he will not commit to specifically reducing troops by the end of his second term in 2009. So you can expect troop levels to be right where they are today. And if what we see in the rest of this newsletter has any part of the story, I think we're going to be, involved in a draft here before very long, especially if we go to war against Iran. Iran's next on the list. And that's because they control 14% of the known world's oil reserves. Peak oil is coming. We need those reserves, so we're going to go over and steal them. And remember that these people are stealing this oil in your name. After all, you voted for George Bush, and the people of the world are holding Americans responsible. We'll see that in a little bit. Real estate prices and trends. This is kind of a important piece. Home prices in Los Angeles and Orange counties have set records yet again in December. The median house price in Los Angeles County rose 21.2% to $418,000 from a year earlier, but was flat from November. In Orange County, the December median gained 18%. That's $551,000. Now, can you believe this? The average house price in Orange County, California is $500,000. Well, I can remember building those HUD 235 houses years ago for $35,000. Man, I could build those houses all day long for $15,000-$18,000 and double my money on them. Can any of you contractors remember that? Today, those houses, if they were sitting in Orange County, California, would be pushing $500,000. Now, either that's because those houses are really getting to be valuable, or the money is really getting to be worthless. What do you think it is? Worthless money or soaring values in 50-year-old boards? Going on, 18% in Orange County, $551,000. That was up less than 2% from November's $541,000. December sales fell 7.4% in Los Angeles County, 10.2% in San Diego County. For the 2004 calendar year, sales of homes in Los Angeles County decreased 3.3%, and in Orange County, 11.5%. Inventory was at a 2.75-month supply, but that was in a month of distortion. In October, that figure was 3.5%. The hottest market in the country is normalizing. As interest rates rise, the market will correct. The median home price in San Diego County was $491,000 in December, a 21.2% increase from 2003, and it was flat from November. Sales fell 12% for the full year. The median price increased 21% and sales rose 2.3%. So housing markets are pretty hot, and that's because we're in this housing bubble. Housing bubble. If you've got a house and you're thinking about selling, I got a piece of real estate over here that I'm thinking about selling. It isn't going to get any more valuable, and it's sure going to go down in price. So now's the time to unload real estate on some other dumb, foolish, ignorant home buyer or real estate buyer that isn't savvy to the real estate bubble. It's like unloading the old maid in a card game. You got to get rid of the old maid. Remember that when you were a little kid? Okay. Now, we all have to have a house to live in, and remember that the watchword is debt-free. If you're in debt, watch what happens to you. In a recession or a depression, the people that are in debt lose everything that they've got. Everything that's mortgaged, even if it isn't mortgaged, the debt that you can't service will trigger a deficiency clause. and then they'll come after the rest of your assets. Whatever you do own, they'll come take away from you for what you didn't own. So when you're approaching a recession or depression, you want to be liquid. Liquid means what that means is that you're out of debt and you've got plenty of cash. Now, cash today, when you're facing the collapse of the dollar and in a hyperinflation, you want to have your assets in something that's liquid, like gold or silver or palladium or platinum or some kind of something that's got some value, that's going to hold its value or go up in value. And the two things that have historically been the source of liquidity are gold and silver. And the best way to hold gold and silver, unless, of course, you're an Arab sheik and you've got so many billion dollars that you don't know what else to do with it. If you've got lots of money, you hold it in gold bars. But if you're just a poor guy like me, then you hold it in gold and silver coins. And the best way to hold silver coins is U.S. junk silver coins. And you can buy those in 1/4, 1/2, or 1 full bag quantities. Now, a bag is $1,000 face value, and a half a bag is $500 face value, and a quarter of a bag is $250 face. So tuck that one away in your heart. All right, we're up here talking about real estate prices and trends, number 35. The foreign purchases of U.S. financial assets showed that November's total net capital inflows at $81 billion, that's up $48.3 billion in October and the highest since June's $81 billion. Net foreign purchases of domestic securities rose $99.7 billion in November. That's from $65.4 billion in October. Purchases of U.S. Treasury securities rose to $32 billion in October. Now, that paragraph right there is telling you what the financial transactions going on in the country are. And as you read those paragraphs, it'll give you an opportunity in these kind of newsletters to see what the trends are. And right now, the trends are foreigners who had been buying in our stock market, buying in our bond market, are easing up. They're giving up on it. They're sitting there saying, well, we don't think we want to invest in a dollar that's going down in value. So as you watch those trends, that's paragraph number 37. Now, 36, foreign purchases of securities, and that's where we'll leave it with the foreign purchases of securities. And we'll take a look at the retail sales forecast next time. I'm just about out of time here, so let me give you a couple of reminders, and we'll close off right here, and we'll take up number 37 next time. Remember, we're covering the International Forecaster financial newsletter. It's a financial and newsletter published by Bob Chapman. Hey, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And for more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Okay, there's the signal. Says time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.